Team's big weekend coming up in Griffin Varsity Sports, and you'll be able to find us right back here at the same time next Friday, noon to 1, more Griff Talk.
For the early departed Catherine Norman and Mike Treadgold of the CIS blog, I am Justin Dunn.
Next Friday, noon to 1, more Griff Talk.
For the early departed Catherine Norman and Mike Treadgold of the CIS blog, I am Justin Dunk. We want to thank all of our guests for giving up their time and coming on the show. Also, I want to thank all of our friends at CFRU, Guelph Griffin Athletes, and of course, all the listeners out there as well. Tune in next week for our show once again as we tackle all of the ongoing stories and headlines in Guelph Griffin Athletics. Have a great weekend. Go out and enjoy some university sports game. I know I ran about this every week. The women's rugby is playing at home. Men's lacrosse, they're still undefeated, going for an undefeated season. They're at home. Men's soccer, their season could come down to Sunday at Alumni Stadium at 3:15 against the UIT Regibacks. Get out and support your Griffins. Go and have a good weekend and enjoy university sports game, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to 93.3 FM.
It's not long from now, not as long as it seems, in a place perhaps you've heard in your dreams. It's the CFRU fundraising drive, the place that keeps local culture alive. It's not ghostly spirits that keep us on air. It's listeners like you and people that care.
The CFRU Fundraising Drive, October 23rd to the 31st. Show your support to local programming. Stay posted for details of the many ghoulish events to come. It is not a trick, it's a treat.
CFRU 93.3 FM is proud to present Just West of Something Big, a compilation of new and unreleased songs by 19 of Guelph's greatest bands, including Gregory Pepper.
I live in a house on wheels and it's slowly going faster.
Water Street Project. And Jenny Omnicord. To get your copy of the compilation, email CFRUCOMP@gmail.com or visit us on the second floor of the University Center. Support local music. Support CFRU, your source for the best independent music for 28 years and counting.
This year has seen the culmination of a four-year struggle against the Olympics being held on unceded Indigenous land.
Indigenous sovereignty was a large theme of protest against the G20, and communities like the Anishinaabeg of Grassy Narrows and Algonquins of Barrier Lake have put up blockades to assert sovereignty with local issues.
This year is the 20th anniversary of the Yoka Crisis, and Indigenous communities continue to resist land theft today.
On Friday, October 22nd, the 6th annual Anti-Colonial Thanksgiving Dinner Potluck will bring out community members to share a large meal, followed by speakers from Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg Nations.
The dinner and speakers will help build connections between settler communities and the original peoples. This event is also a celebration of autumn and an opportunity to renew our commitment to Indigenous sovereignty.
Come out to the Guelph Youth Music Center, 75 Cardigan Street, on October 22nd at 6 p.m. to share in the spirit of resistance. Bring a food dish to share. The GYMC is an accessible space and this event is free. Children are also welcome.
Search us out online if you'd like to volunteer before or during the event.
Come out to the Guelph Youth Music Center at 75 Cardigan Street in downtown Guelph on Friday, October 22nd at 6 p.m.
The demand relates to the purchase 3 years ago of the Indian telephone assets of the Hong Kong conglomerate Hutchison Whampoa. Vodafone is to appeal. An attempt to be made at high tide to refloat a British nuclear-powered submarine that's run aground off northwest Scotland. The Ministry of Defence said the vessel, HMS Astute, wasn't carrying nuclear weapons. James Shaw reports.
Throughout the course of the day, the long black hull of HMS Astute has been visible from Skye and the mainland. It's thought it became stranded while personnel were being transferred from a smaller vessel. Local people say they cannot understand why it was outside the safe channel between Skye and the mainland, which is marked out by red and green buoys. It's not the first accident of its kind. Back in 2002, another submarine, HMS Trafalgar, ran aground off Skye.
The Manchester United striker Wayne Rooney has agreed to stay with the club on a new 5-year contract. Rooney threw the football world into turmoil earlier this week when he said he was unhappy at Old Trafford and wanted to leave. But after talks with its management and owners, he said he was convinced that the club was committed to maintaining its winning history. Club manager Sir Alex Ferguson told Man U TV that he was pleased that Wayne Rooney had made amends.
He apologised to me this morning and the players, and I think he'll do that with the fans, which is important because we've all been hurt by the events of the last couple of days. But, you know, it's always, I always feel it's a quality in a person when he says he's sorry.
BBC News.
We have heard the news from the BBC. Now it's your turn. Call country code 44 20 78 30 72 72. Welcome to war. Have your say.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. Thank you for joining us. Well, four things for us to discuss today. Bigoted or honest, Juan Williams, a political commentator on National Public Radio in the US, has been fired after saying on Fox News that he gets nervous when getting on a plane and sees people who are dressed in traditional Muslim clothes. Well, he's called his own sacking a chilling assault on free speech. So is he saying just what many people think, or was it right that he lost his job? Also, the editor of a Ugandan newspaper that published the photo names and addresses of 100 gay people with a banner saying hang them across their front page is here to speak to you. He's also going to be talking to a gay Ugandan man about why he decided to run that story. And we're going to be returning to Haiti, where 140 people have now died from cholera. And there are fears that an epidemic could hit those tempted camps where tens of thousands of people are still living after January's earthquake. We're going to hear from friend of the programme and, of course, guest blogger Driss. He lives in Port-au-Prince and he's going to tell us more about life in Haiti at the moment. And as we promised earlier in the week, we've got a BBC executive here to answer your questions about the impact of cuts here at the World Service. Well, you can get in touch in the usual ways via Facebook, Twitter, or at the blog worldhaveyoursay.com.
Email worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com.
MBW Cat has tweeted, people are dead in a typhoon in Asia, people are dying from cholera in Haiti, and all people have to talk about is Juan Williams, seriously. Well, as I said, we are going to be talking about Haiti a little bit later on, but many of you around the world are talking about the firing of this National Public Radio political commentator. Some of you won't have heard the exact comments of what he said, so I'll just read them to you. He said, I'm not a bigot, but when I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, I think, well, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims. I get worried. I get nervous. So has he been fired for saying what many people think? We can introduce two guests who are here to speak to you. Emilio Karim de Bull is a freelance writer and PR consultant. He's in New Jersey in the US. And Ali Younis is a columnist with the Arab Writers Group in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome both of you to World Have Your Say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ali Younis, first of all, what's your reaction to those words?
Well, first of all, you know, I was not too surprised that Juan Williams have mentioned these things. First, you know, he works in the context of his work other than NPR is Fox News. And Fox News has been leading the charge against Arabs and Muslims and fermenting an atmosphere of fear of racism in this country and taking the charge particularly about the Muslim Cultural Center in Manhattan. Fox News and personalities such as Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin, and Mike Huckabee, you know, have said many, many nasty anti-Muslim things and qualified as racist things. So Juan Williams works with these people, and I wasn't too surprised that he mentioned these things that goes along with the policy of Fox News.
Well, I'm sure Fox News, if they were here, would say they don't whip up anti-Muslim sentiment. That's not certainly their aim. Emilio, what do you make of those comments?
Well, I mean, I understand, for one, I think the sensitivity around this, because It's kind of like the old rule in bar rooms, Chloe. I mean, nothing gets people more riled up than talk about politics and religion, right? But I think the totality of Juan's comments need to be seen here, which is that he was simply talking about an inner reaction, not how he would treat anybody. And if you go on to follow the text of his interview with O'Reilly, he was very much saying you need to distinguish between, you know, Muslims and those who are extremist and prone to violence. I think those were key things. And believe me, if Juan was making a blanket, you know, statements against Muslims, I would be offended. I wouldn't be inclined to write any sort of defense
Well, Emilio, this is a point well taken. But if you read actually also what Juan Williams said, that where Muslims, you know, wear Muslim garbs, to him that means that, you know, we Muslims identify ourselves first and foremost Muslims. In my article, I said this is akin to the civil rights era. If a black man is riding the bus or the train, then white folks, racist white folks, will think this is a threat to them. So what does a white man have to do in order to alleviate this threat in the mind of this racist white man? Paint his face white? So what are we supposed to do? Do not dress, you know, the way our culture, for example, you know, the way our culture is. You know, we can't change who we are. I can't change my name. I can't change what I look like. So in order for Mr. Williams not to feel the way he feels. But I think this is, you know, a symptom of racism. This is an environment whereby a lot of people, you know, we are looked upon as guilty by association. Just because the 19 hijackers on September 11 happen to be Muslims or of Arab descent or whatever descent, and we are of the same heritage, that does not make us terrorists. That does not make us dangerous. And this is the dangers of Mr. Juan Williams' argument.
Well, Ali, I would say that I would. There's definitely a problem in the world with people who make blanket assumptions about people because they're Muslims or because they have names like yours and mine. I would totally agree with you that is definitely a problem in the world. It's a problem in the U.S. But I don't think that, you know, that's at all what Juan Williams was doing here. And I think that's a crucial, you know, differentiator, because he was talking about an inner reaction. I would say, based on his commentaries through the years and the fact that he's one of the liberal voices on Fox, that, you know, from everything I've seen with Williams through the years, I think he would be probably one of the first people in a case if someone was going to discriminate against somebody based on the way they were dressed in traditional, say, Muslim or Arab garb, that I think he would be very much against that, as would I be, and I would assume you would be as well, obviously. I think part of what gets lost here is I think that there's an immediate sort of rush to judgment around these things, and I think that's where I'm trying to say, let's try to cool our jets a little bit, and let's try to shed a little more light than heat. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I'm glad you just said that. Let's not rush to judgment. But if you compare the reaction to Juan Williams, people who are defending him, such as yourself and Fox News and all the conservative people in this country, media included, we did not see this reaction when Helen Thomas, for example, was, you know, interpreted as being anti-Israel. You know, there were many, many calls, including the White House, to terminate her from her job. This almost 90-year-old woman, everybody ganged up on her when it comes to Israel, when it's speaking out about something she did not actually say the way it was presented to be. So this is the hypocrisy of the conservatives in this country and people who are defending Juan Williams, in my opinion. With all due respect, I'm not just saying this is about you. But, you know, if you compare, you know, what happened to Juan Williams and what happened to others, you know, Juan Williams actually just signed a contract with multi-million dollars. He was rewarded. On top of that, he stood by his remarks. He did not say that I did not mean that. He stood by his remarks. And now when you're talking about his inner feelings, you know, racism, you know, racists have the right to express their views. But it is a problem when those racists are public figures and opinion makers. It becomes a problem. And the point that NPR is, you know, 2% publicly funded is actually crucial. And that's why, just because they are publicly funded, even at as little as 2%, they should have fired him a long time ago. In 2009, for example, after President Obama took office, he made racist comments about Michelle Obama. He actually was, his reference was the 1960s era when Michelle Obama said during the campaign that this is the first time I feel like an American. He commented on that, that Michelle Obama does not feel as an American, and he actually insulted African Americans by alluding to the fact that African Americans, in his mind, say, well, we're the victims. You know, the victimhood, you know, issue that a lot of racist white folks, you know, talk about black people as such. So this is not the first time Mr. Williams insult, you know, Arab Americans or Muslims or minorities.
Well, Emilio, you come back in and respond to many points that Ali made there.
Yes, I think that the main point I want to state, because I'm less familiar with his comments on Michelle Obama, to be quite frank, but my I think the bigger issue here is how do we ever deal with these kinds of things when we don't even admit they exist? Part of what I said in my in my essay in the journal Ali and Chloe was that I grew up, you know, in an Islamic culture. I grew up getting, you know, seeing women dressed in the traditional garb, and yet, and if you read the piece there, when I was in Berlin some years ago, when they brought in a woman who was dressed very much head to toe, and all you could see were her eyes. That was the only thing you could see, and she was in a wheelchair, and I had a reaction. You know, did I not want her on the plane? No, it wasn't anything. Oh, don't let this woman on the plane. It was more like, because of terrorism, and because most of the terrorism we're talking about in this case, if we're talking about things related to air incidents, have been committed by Muslims, yes, I had a reaction. And yet, that's a big part of my heritage. That's a very big part of my heritage. And I would say the first person, if somebody was going to say, we're going to remove this person because they're wearing a turban or they're wearing this, I would say that's completely wrong. But having a reaction within, it's a little bit like if I could, you know, date myself here enough as a fossil. The routine Lenny Bruce had many, many years ago, very controversial, but he was basically, you know, asking in a way, how many people do we have? And he was mentioning different ethnic slurs. His point was, though, with the routine, and I thought it was brilliant, I thought it was genius, Bruce was not a racist. Bruce's point was, as long as we're so hypersensitive about all this stuff and so defensive, we're never going to really talk about the real issues and get to them. And I don't see saying we have to go around calling each other names or anything like that, Ali. We come from a similar background, obviously.
Well, Ali Emilio, let me read you some of the messages that are coming in. Mohammed in Sierra Leone has posted on Facebook, Islam bashing has become quite fashionable in the West since 9/11. Sacking him is somewhat too little too late. Ibrahim in the UK, posting on our blog, says what Juan Williams is essentially saying is Americans who look Muslim aren't true Americans and Muslims are dangerous. And in Glenda has posted on the blog, what Mr. Williams said was an opinion shared by many. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining us. That was Emilio Karim Dabul, who's a freelance writer and PR consultant in New Jersey, and also Ali Younis, a columnist with the Arab Writers Group in Washington, D.C.
World, have you say? You can listen and then call on in. State your opinion and speak in then. Yeah. You don't agree with the people they got, then take your shot and speak to them. Discuss the issues we must. Officials corrupt, the phones erupt. Social, political, spiritual, physical, literal, lyrical, morally, visual, world participants. That's the difference. Piques my interest. That's the impetus. Couldn't call in, so I posted it, hoping that someone would notice it, open and cope with it. My dominion, my opinion. Speak to the world that I'm living in. Very few shows that go this way. You listen into world, have you say?
Well, as many of you have been reading, a Ugandan newspaper has published the photos, the names and addresses of what it calls Uganda's top 100 homosexuals, with a banner saying hang them across its front page. Well, at least four people on that list have already been attacked, and gay rights activists say that many more are now in hiding. Well, the paper claims that some of this group are actively recruiting children in schools, and that's why it felt compelled to publish. Well, we can speak to Giles Muhame, who is editor of Ugandan Rolling Stone newspaper. And also Gug, that's not his real name. He's a gay Ugandan blogger, and I'm sure you'll appreciate that we've changed his name to protect his identity, but has already spoken to us on World Have Your Say before. Gentlemen, welcome to the programme, and thank you both for taking the time to talk to us. I just want to ask you both to, it's a very sensitive issue, and I understand you're both very passionate about this, but let's have a conversation here. Let's not make speeches and let's be polite to one another. I'll start with you, Giles, if I may. Just explain a little bit more about why you felt that it was right to publish this list in your newspaper. And of course, Gug will let you respond. Giles, first of all, tell us why you decided to publish this in the paper. Okay, we seem to be having a few problems getting through to Giles, but I think that Gug is on the line. So, Gug, first of all, tell us your response when you initially saw this newspaper article.
Well, when I initially saw the paper, I thought it was the usual thing. I mean, we have a rag called the Red Paper, which has been kind of going around shouting out the names of our names and publishing some details. Then I opened it and I saw all the pictures of some of us, and I was really shocked because, first of all, somebody is telling all Ugandans to go out and hang other Ugandans because they are supposedly gay, and he's giving out these false accusations that we are recruiting and we are going after their children. And you know, it's like for a very long time, these things have been said in Uganda. People take them to be facts just because people in authority are telling the populace that gay Ugandans are out to recruit and kill or do something to the young Ugandans. And, you know, when a person with a newspaper gets to the point of pointing out that these are the gay Ugandans, these are the ones to hang, you really feel bad about it.
Do you feel threatened yourself, Gug?
Yes, I do feel threatened. I do feel, I mean, but thank God, I mean, these people who were in the papers, some of them have left the places where they stay, simply because they have been recognized. They are thought to be the recruiters. They are the ones who are supposed to be they are the ones who are thought to be the evil ones who are going to recruit the kids. I mean, I've had an incident at my place where I stay, where a person I try to help a child, and the mother is like, "You can't do that." And I'm like, "Why can't I do that? I know the mother knows that I'm gay." And, I'm given no reason for not helping the child, but it's like...
Okay, Gug, I just want to let you know that Giles Mohammed is back on the line with us, and he obviously won't have heard what you've just said. So I just want to explain that to him, just to be fair, so that he can obviously respond to you. Gug was just telling us that you feel that many homosexuals are going into schools and trying to recruit young people. That is absolutely not the case, according to Gug. And he feels that you've just raised the threat level against Ugandans who are gay, who already feel very threatened in what is a country that is very homophobic. Giles, just respond to that if you would. Giles, are you there? Oh, this is so frustrating. Okay, we're going to try and re-establish that line because I know that Giles is there. We're just having a few technical problems. Gug, I'm going to bring you some comments that are coming in because I'll be interested to get your response to them. Suleiman has posted on the blog at worldhaveyoursay.com. I am myself gay, African and Muslim. Yes, I know, it's potentially explosive cocktail. And I've come to realise that the need for persecution and scapegoats are the symptoms of a society in crisis. In Africa, this malaise manifests itself through the persecution of witches and gays. And in Arab Muslim countries, it's the need to suppress women, seen as disruptive and chaotic elements. I'm very sad to see how fundamentalism is gaining ground in Christian and Muslim countries around Africa and how they're crushing women and gay rights. That is the two social groups bearing individualism and progress. And Victor on Facebook says they should have just hidden. This is Africa. We have morals. Right, I'm going to keep everything crossed at this point because I understand that we do have Giles back on the line, who's the managing editor of the Ugandan Rolling Stone. Giles, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. Thank you very much for sticking by us, because I know that was difficult with those technical problems. I was just saying before that Gug was talking to us when you couldn't hear, so I'll just reiterate what he was saying. He was saying that he's a gay man in Uganda. He feels very threatened already. Your newspaper is saying that gay people are trying to go into schools and recruit young people. That is absolutely not the case, according to Gug. And he says he feels more threatened after you published this newspaper article. Your response to that, please.
Yes, the story was written in public interest, and we have witnesses to verify our claims that indeed some homosexuals are recruiting kids. They are recruiting secondary school students, primary school students. There is one called Sandra Wagote. She was recruited while in high school in Masaka. It's a district in Uganda. And then she later had gay sex with lesbians at a mansion.
Well, obviously, Charles, you're making allegations that we've got absolutely no idea whether that is true or not, and we're not going to get into specific allegations towards certain people. What I'm interested in is that you're saying that you believe you have evidence and witnesses that say that you have that gay people have been recruiting in schools. I know that Gug would like to speak to you, so I'm going to step back, and Gug and Charles, feel free to talk to one another. Gug, what would you like to say to Charles?
Hi, Charles. I'm one of the people that you want to hang. But I'm one of the people that you wrote in your paper that Ugandans should be aware of, that we are going, that we should be hanged. Now, I'm kind of, I kind of want to know, why do you want to hang me? I mean, I'm a Ugandan. No, I don't know anything about you. I didn't even know anything about you until you said that you wanted me hanged. Why?
I personally do not want you to be hanged, but we
you
want
don't want me to be hanged when you wrote in your paper that I should be hanged.
We were quoting a church leader who was calling for the hanging of gays who recruit homosexuals.
I have this paper right in front of me. You
can you read? Can you read for
Uganda's Commons leak? Hang them. They are after our kids. Pictures of Uganda's top 100 homosexuals.
Okay, Gug, let's have a conversation here. It's only fair to let Giles to respond to those points.
Okay, he's saying he has the newspaper there. Can he read for us the quote of the person who was calling for the hanging of gays? Could you please, Gug, do that for us?
Hang them. They are after our kids. That is you, because you are the editor of this paper, aren't you? Hang them. They are after our kids. That is you, sir.
Could you read the quote?
No.
But Giles, that's what it says. Giles,
I'm sure.
Gug, if you just wait for a moment. Giles, that is what it says on the front of the newspaper. It says, hang them. They're a threat to your children. Just respond to that point, because that's what Gug is so passionately against, obviously.
First of all, they told me that Gug is not his correct name, so I really do not know the person I'm talking to. If I knew him, I would put evidence to...
Call me Subuga.
Did I put your picture?
I won't answer that.
So really, what we are saying was that we wanted police to come on board to investigate this issue, to arrest you and prosecute you. If you are found guilty of recruiting kids, then you should be hanged. Because the agony you bring to the parents, the agony you bring to the kids, you destroy their future. Surely, who do you think you are?
I think I'm a Ugandan. I am due the due process that you as a Ugandan deserve in Uganda.
Okay, Gug and Giles, as frustrating as it is because of those technical problems, we're coming right up to the news now, so I'm going to ask you both to stay where you are and we will carry on this conversation after the latest BBC World News.
There's more information about our forthcoming programme highlights on our website. To really whet your appetite, just pop along to bbcworldservice.com and click Coming Soon.